you got your Bibles, either physically, as in paper version, or electronically, you need to open up to Ephesians chapter 3. If you're following our Bible program, YouVersion, we've got an event for this morning that you can also take notes in that. We've been using that pretty much all year. The YouVersion Bible app is fantastic. We're starting a new Bible reading plan for October tomorrow in the book of James. It's only about 27 days. It's a few days short of the month, but you can work that out towards the end of the month. And we've got another one coming up in November before we get home. So stay tuned to those and keep an ear out. They'll be posted on the Facebook page, I'm sure, and electronically along the way, as well as talked about from the pulpit. So this month we're focusing on come and see family. And this week I found myself just poking around in Ephesians chapter 3 and realizing there's a few key thoughts there that I thought were helpful. And so this morning's message really is this, that the place that we are empowered to flourish is in families. Paul writes to the Ephesians church, church in Ephesus. It depends on who you read and what you think are guesstimates, but some scholars think that church could have been up to 60,000 in membership, principally meeting in homes. Not a 60,000 strong congregation in an arena, but we weren't there, and so it's conjecture. But let's just say it was a flourishing group of people following Christ. And one of the things that caught my attention in this particular part, Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. For this reason, this is Paul, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. The sense in which he's saying that, when we're in Christ, we're in the family, God's family. And families have particular traits to them. They reflect the parents to a large extent. And as I started thinking about that and the fact that God's our Father in heaven, that we, his family, would be and should be and can reflect him. And that's what we're called to do. And, of course, Christ, his Son. So let's just keep reading. So I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. He's a brave man saying things like that in the Greco-Roman world of the era he wrote that in, because Greeks in particular were obsessed with knowledge. They were obsessed with knowing. They were obsessed with public oration, orating, rhetorical arguments. Paul's a rhetorical question asker in his writings. Knowledge was el supremo. The more you knew. At the same time he's writing these letters, there's the rising up within the church of Gnosticism, which is people who claim to have had special, let's just say, enlightening moments with Jesus. And if you knew what I knew, if you had the experience that I had, and Gnosticism got a hold of the church, and there was a horrible, toxic culture developing of comparison about whose revelation was superior to whom. Paul's dealing with all that stuff as he writes to these churches, and what he's saying here is so important for us to get our head around when it comes to this family, our church family. But I would say, by analogy, our own respective natural families, whatever format that looks like. So I entitled this, The Place Where We're Empowered to Flourish is Family. Sometimes, though, family can feel like anything but that. It can feel like something we've got to endure. You know, teenagers often long for the day they can move out, and sometimes the parents feel the same way. But at the end of the day, it's like it can get funky in a family. We can have moments in a congregation of this size that it's just awkward. It's like, what's that all about? Well, the awkwardness is never going to go away. There's going to be moments of that always. But what I read here and what I'm encouraged with regards to what Paul says is that there's something else at work in God's family that we need to get our head around. And it's the word power. It's kind of like, I've shared from this pulpit before many times, I'm really not a green thumb. I really probably am one of those people that can pretty much kill any plant through neglect or ignorance. They don't actually flourish in my world. Even when things like, well, I guess my understanding is, and Andrew Hancock's has given me some counsel on these things over the years, plants really need essentially what, three things? Sun, water, and soil. Is that about it? Three things, more or less, nutrients, sun, water. I don't ever seem to get... the sun's doing its thing. I can't really control that, although I could put a plant in the wrong kind of shady environment when it needs to be in full sun, or vice versa. And knowing me, I'd get that mixed up. It's kind of like, what am I saying? It's possible that the plant is actually designed to flourish. You were designed, I was designed, we were designed to flourish. But I'm wondering what the balance of ingredients are like in my life and yours. So even though God's got miracles and breakthroughs for us, whether I truly am doing all I can to position myself to flourish, or am I letting some weeds of unforgiveness grow up, or some weeds of, here's another weed I haven't mentioned for a while, the weed of comparison, or the weed of competitiveness, or the weed of put down, or the weed of insecurity. Those things can all get a hold of and take root in a family. And Paul is saying that one of the things that can really help a family get through all of that, whatever it is and however it comes, any conditions that are causing there to be, let's just say, less than ideal conditions, is the power of God. God's power at work in our family. I love the fact that this scripture reiterates to me and reminds me that family is not our idea, it's God's idea. It's His idea for us to gather like this, not ours. Let me say that it's His idea that we gather like this. He's the one who's put families on planet Earth. And every family on the planet, He's aware of. You could obviously say He's aware of every person on the planet, but I think in the sense of what Paul is pointing out here, there's a sense in which family to God is really, really important. So, let's just have a look at... I've made comment about these particular words in a few different places of late and had mixed reaction. Remember a few months ago or weeks ago, I talked about yous and us's. So I thought, I'm on a bit of a pilgrimage this year of just making sure that I've got my head around what the Bible's saying to us when it's talking to us. And so this scripture, starting in verse 16, I'll reread it. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power. Old Bruce, prior to 2018, would have read you singular. It's you plural. Strengthen you all. Strengthen you all with power. In other words, God wants His power to manifest with us. That's why it says it's consistent with Scripture. He inhabits the praises of His people. There's a sense in which God's presence with us, in which we flourish, is always going to be in the context of community. There are some plants that love to live by themselves. They just sprout up in their happy little campers wherever they happen to be. But there are other plants that flourish. They grow. But there are some, I'm thinking of trees, actually really benefit from being alongside other trees, being actually planted in a forest. It's not just where the seeds happen to fall, that's the mechanics of it. The reality is there's a sense in which the ecosystem that's developed is all about being interrelated. And somehow along the way in 21st century Western culture, we've lost our way with regards to this togetherness stuff. So what am I saying? I and me, gives way to us and we. Paul is directing these powerful words to a church family. I pray that of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, again, plural, through faith. And I pray that you, this one's not specifically mentioned in the commentaries I looked at, whether that you is plural or singular, but you could certainly do a word search on that if you wanted to, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp. Say grasp. So it's not by knowledge that you grasp. It's not by having a whole lot of letters after your name from a university degree, doctors of divinity, doctors of theology, doctors of whatever else. They're all really, really admirable things to pursue. Absolutely. But they don't guarantee what the scripture is saying here. You've got to have power to grasp. I don't know about you, but my experience of God's love mostly lives in the zone of what I know. I know what it feels like to be loved. I know what it is like to be loved. I know what it feels like to be accepted into a community of faith like this. There's a whole lot of knowledge that I've got. And the Bible's saying that's not actually going to cut it when it comes to grasping, laying a hold of, pulling into consciousness, pulling into my world. I can't just know this stuff. I've got to be empowered by the Spirit. He's praying for a church to have the power of God get on them to grasp. He's painting a picture of a pretty lively bunch of people who aren't sitting down and comparing their knowledgeable qualifications. They're not comparing themselves with regards to experience of life or experience of this or experience of that. What they are doing is being told, you go after the power. You go after God and his empowerment to grasp it, so that it, to the very core of who you are, Bruce, you'll have this shaking of the foundations of your life. God is love. God's for me. God's with me. So I wrote these little thoughts. So being filled with power is personal. In other words, I can't be filled with the power of God for you, just as much as I can't get saved for you. I can't be filled for you. But it's not private. Let me say that again. Being filled with power is personal, but not private. You and I are not filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can have wonderful times with Jesus. We do when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we can have wonderful times with Jesus, but that is a means to a bigger end. And the end is that people who don't know him go, look at that. What is that? Who is that? Crowds flocked down the road chasing Jesus. People came out of the woodwork because they'd heard about Jesus. Why is that? Because he went after and was filled with the power. He had the power of God on him. Being filled with power is personal. It's in your innermost being it's talking about there, but it's not private. It's personal yet corporate. So we come in here together, filled in our inner being, so that the power of God here can help us to all grasp. Say grasp. I love that word, grasp. Like me trying to grasp onto the gutter the other day. I was hanging on for dear. You've got to get intense. How much energy have I placed into grasping how big God's love is? How wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ? I can't afford to just have a ho-hum. Oh, Jesus died on the cross for my sin. Isn't that wonderful? I can get like that after 40 years in Christ. This kind of life becomes very familiar. No, I want the power in this place week after week, the power of his presence to stir me up. So put the power into the situation, the power of God, so that I'm in awe and wonder, just like I've had a brand new revelation. Just like I said about falling off that ladder, I was surprised. It caught my attention. I'm longing for this prayer of Paul's to continue to be revealed in our church, so that I'm surprised. Every week I come to church, I'm surprised by what God does. Because we see the same old faces. I don't mean that with any disrespect. We know each other to varying degrees in our congregation. It's kind of like we can become just full of anticipation of more of the same. But I think Paul's saying there's a sense in which if there's this power which he's praying for the church to experience, then it's never going to be, oh, there's Andrew Hancock's. G'day, mate, how you doing? It's kind of like, come here for a minute, Andrew. It's kind of like he spent time at home with his innermost being filled with the power of God. He's like a hot coal. But a hot coal by itself eventually goes cold. We've got to get in here and go, mate, it is so good to see you. We hang around, we lift our hands up, we worship God. Just worship God, mate. Get with the program. We're worshiping God, right? Yeah. We worship God together. And I tell you, you get an arm around someone and start praying like this, you begin to feel not just the bodily warmth of two people together, you start to feel something of the presence of God. Yeah. It immediately changes the atmosphere, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You were cooking down there okay, but you're cooking even more now, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Why don't you go and just find somebody? Don't get creepy, but just go and find somebody and do the same thing. Just begin to talk in the Holy Spirit. Just put your arm around and pray with them and get them to pray with you. Okay. If you're visiting this morning, we don't normally get this touchy-feely, so just put up a do not disturb sign if you don't want anyone to come near you, okay? Just, come on. You know what I'm talking about. Now, this little revelation, this is another example that popped into my incredible grey matter. It's an interesting place in here, trust me. It's a bit scary. So being filled with power is personal, not private. It's personal yet corporate. It's a bit like cooking. You know, one of the saddest things you can possibly do is cook a meal for yourself. I mean, it's a thing you need to do if you're by yourself. I'm not saying anything about it. But, you know, cooking's not meant to be, oh, I made this amazing steak last night. You should have smelt it. It was awesome. I had this and this. And I sat down and I ate it and it was really nice. That steak would have tasted a whole lot nicer if I cooked it and shared it with somebody. It would have been the same steak going to the same mouth, but I tell you, it would have tasted different because it was shared. And that's exactly the same as our experience with Jesus. That's exactly the same as our experience of church. It's not meant to be me and my little journey with Jesus as an end in itself. It's me, my journey with Christ, and then I come together with whoever comes together and we gather around and we get on fire for God. Don't we, Angus? Stand up, sir. Thank you, Lord. Let's just put your hand up for a minute. Father, we pray right now that the incredible presence of your goodness, the power of God, would rest on this young man. Lord, you'd bless his business, his family. Father, today that right now in church, he knows the power of God has set upon him. Lord, to knit him into life, to knit him into the place of flourishing. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, show him your glory. Amen. That feels all right, doesn't it? Okay, everyone's looking at the floor now. Yeah, fits a little bit hands-on today. It's all good. Kayla, why don't you stand to your feet? Hand up. Same deal. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I just pray for this beautiful young woman, Lord, today. You've placed dreams in her heart. Some of them have come crashing down, Kayla, I know that. But today, I pray that the power of God would rest on you so that in this house, you know that you can flourish. That the days ahead will be bright. There'll be challenges because there are always challenges in life. But you're going to have the power of God resting on you. You're going to be strengthened with his power to just climb over mountains. You're going to get through the valleys. You're going to just make it happen. You're going to see the day where you just are able to rejoice at the end of every day, no matter what, in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Starting to feel that prophetic thing getting unleashed here. Tim Scott, what are you doing mind your own business? Stand up, my friend.
Trying to mind my own business.
Hey, yeah. What are you doing? Let's look at these guys so we can see what they can see what we're doing, all right? I want you to lift your hand for a moment. Yes. Heavenly Father, right now, thank you for Tim. Lord, as iron sharpens iron, I pray, Lord, that the days ahead for Tim are bright. Lord, I pray today that you would I just see God taking a coal of power and setting it kind of on top of all the knowledge that you've got. You've got incredible knowledge and skills in lots of areas of your life, Tim, and I see God saying, Tim, I want you to see the power. I want you to see the power different than you've ever seen it. It's going to come in ways that maybe there's not a word picture that even Bruce can think of to describe it. You're going to experience the power, and it's going to come to you as revelation in the days ahead. Father, I thank you for this man. Pray, Lord, that he would continue to unlock lives with his love for life, Lord, with his love for you, in Jesus' name. Pray his family, Lord, would be empowered to know how wide, high, deep there's a love of Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anything I'm saying to anybody here this morning, if a hat fits in church, wear it. Okay? It's like, ooh, can I get one of those words for me? Yes, you can have one of those words, Lorraine. You can stand to your feet. Yeah, you're minding your own business there.
I'm not even wearing red today.
Is that your ploy? See, I just wanted to show that's surprise today, okay? See, familiarity breeds contempt. I can see that. It's all good. Now, this lady is a prayer. This lady is a champion. But she's like you and me. She carries her own inner battles. She's got her own deals going on. And right now, Father, I pray that all of the deal that's made Lorraine who she is and how she's come into this family, Lord, I pray today that your power would rest on her. And Lord, as she sits down in a moment, that the people sitting alongside her would begin to feel that.
Yes,
and Lord, that she knows, because she knows, this is not for her. She's been empowered in her innermost being so that we, Lord, can flourish. And I just pray, Father, that she would find evidence in the days ahead of conversations and moments she's had with people in maybe even years gone by, Lorraine. I see you for the first time seeing the fruit of that through another lens. And you go, there it is. Things have flourished around me. I thought things were not always that good, but there's flourishing people in the wake of your life, in the slipstream of your life. And get ready for more in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All righty. We could be here for a long time if we kept this up, eh? The power of God. Can anybody? I'm just feeling a little bit. Whoo. Is the force? Oh, it's the fall. Yeah, right. Thanks, John. I'm really encouraged by that. Yeah, I didn't tell you I had concussion. Was out of it for 3 hours. No, I left that bit out. No, I wasn't. I'm telling a story there. So, our individual giftedness belongs to all of us. Watching some of the grandchildren with birthday parties of late, one of the things that we expect a young person to grow up into is the ability to share. You know, you give a little two-year-old a gift, it's like, try and get that gift, if they like it, out of their hand. Like, share it with so-and-so. No way. Sadly, that's how we behave with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We can be like that. God's given me this incredible gift of preaching or teaching or praying or prophesying. And the gift can become something we get a little bit of pride in our spirit about. It's not meant to be. It's actually here so we flourish. It's here so that we all benefit. So if you've got a gift, get ready to share it. You've got a gift, get ready to share the glory of that gift, not for yourself. Oh, so-and-so's good at that. It's like, yes, they are, but they're good at that so that we flourish. Hope that this is kind of catching. I'm really laboring the point, but it's about us. It's about you and me doing what we do, but we're focused in we are all going to flourish. We can't afford to have somebody dragging the chain through our church. I don't mean that in the sense of any other sense than if somebody's not getting through life well, it kind of augurs for us to go, let's get the slowest goose in the flock of geese behind us there, the one that's laboring the most, let's go back and just put an arm around them and help them. Sometimes that story you might have heard, that story about the geese. There's flocks of geese I think they migrated in the United States, and there are helper birds that'll drop out of formation with a sick bird and land on the ground to see whether there's anything they can do, and they'll hang around to see what they can do until it's obvious there's nothing that can be done, and they'll go back and catch up with the rest of the flock. But they will actually break out of formation to look after the weakest link. We could learn a lot from that. Do we do it? Well, we're not going to do it because we know we should. We're going to do it because we've got the power. It's the power of God on us. I don't know about you, but I like the idea of power. So, our individual giftedness belongs to God. That actually removes comparison and unhealthy competition. Like, I've got this gift. Let's have a party. I got this. Let's share it. Here, have some of that Anna. Have some of that anointing. Have it. Someone walks in the door and had the best week in their life ever. Don't sit there gloating. Even though you could. It's like there's nothing wrong with being a little bit kind of up because I had a really good week. But if it's kind of a moment that you've had with God, why not say, he's pretty big. Maybe there's more of him for all of us than for me only. And you get around and say, have some of this. Have some of this. Have some of this. Have some anointing. Female, gently, have some of this, have some of this. Not a guy, have some of this. Take it all. Give it to him, Lord. He needs it. More anointing. Father, fill Andrew, Lord, with the Holy Ghost and with fire this morning. Thank you, Lord. Let him be filled with these words. I'm more than a conqueror. Maybe we need to change that. We're more than conquerors. Husband and wife, we are conquerors. Thank you, Lord, for Emma. Fill her, Lord, with fresh oil this morning, the anointing. Bless you, Lord. Bless this family. Bless their kids, Lord. Let them dream the dreams. Things that have gone down dead-end streets, we pray there to be some openings. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So we come in armed, ready to share, ready to be enthusiastic. Some of us come to church very privately. We want to have just don't disturb me. And I've got no problem if that's how we start out. But don't expect to sit in here like that for 2 years. Okay? It's like, it's okay. We love to help people to recover because there's lots of stuff that goes on in life that you need a safe place to get your breath. You need a safe place to get filled with the Spirit. You need a safe place to make new friends. It's like, I totally love that about our church. But I totally love this, that's... That happens alongside of others of us that are already flourishing, already focused on how well you're doing, and already to do what we can so that we all get caught up in that vortex of the power to grasp. Say grasp. Just reach out to somebody, just grab their hand, like a handshake, and just have a grasping moment. Like, just let them know you're going to grasp them. Yeah. Paul's saying to grasp this. You know, I've seen this, I've demonstrated this before. I think, who do I need? Shane Cox, come up here. I want you to demonstrate to me what I've you know this term. This is a dead fish handshake. Come here. So if I've got something you need to grasp, right, I want you to show me lack of enthusiasm by just giving me a dead hand, like a dead fish handshake. How are you, mate? See, it's like, look at that. Paul's not saying, give God a dead fish handshake. Now grasp me. What I've got, man, you need to have.
I'll grab it.
You want you pull it out of me? Pull on it. That's it. See, grasp, it's like pull on it. When was the last time you pulled on God? I mean, really pulled on God. Say, God, I got to have a breakthrough. God, thank you. You can sit down again. It's like, when was the last time? Oh, well, I prayed about that. Oh, I spent a few days thinking and talking and reading the scriptures. And that's all of it. That's like the ingredients for growing things. You've got to do that. I'm not saying that so that we don't do that. I'm saying that needs to be accompanied with, I'm going to grasp something. I'm not leaving this place. Prayer and fasting's like that. It's not about twisting God's arm. It's about this dogged determination to grasp something. I'm going to pull a breakthrough into my life. I'm going to pull a miracle into my life. God is not a pussycat. He's not a fluffy little ball of fur that we go, ooh, there's a God. God's this raging, incredibly powerful being who wants to unleash his kingdom in your life so that our lives would be the best lives we can have. Come on. Give the Lord a clap if you believe that. Absolutely. So I started thinking, this is just a little change of direction, but it's all connected here. So we learn how to do or not do what we're meant to do in the context of the security of family. It's like, I was thinking more along the lines of how you were brought up. So were you brought up, for example, to do your best? Yeah, do your best. Let me ask this question, even to this day, do you understand why? Why do your best? It's kind of a rhetorical question, just let you think about that one. Well, perhaps you were brought up to share things. Many of us were, so I'll just mention that, sharing what we've got. We're taught to share. But why? Why? Why share? I hope you're shifting with me through these questions too, because those things are all about us. Sharing's about us. It affects me. I've got to learn the skill, but I share so that you and I can do it together or have it together or be in that moment together. Sharing's about us. Why? You were taught manners. Why? What does it matter if you just sit down at the table and just bog in as soon as the food's served? What does it matter if you sit down and one of your parents hopefully has cooked a meal for you, because they still do those things occasionally. But you just hop into it. You don't say thanks. Thanks for the food. Thanks for the effort. You come home and you go to your drawer and look for clean clothes and Mum hasn't done the washing. Why haven't you done the washing yet, Mum? It's like, hang on, what happened to being thankful? I don't actually remember ever saying thanks to my mum for doing my washing. Ever? I mean, she did it every day until I turned 21 and got married and then Julie does my washing. We have an arrangement. It's all good. There's things that she does and there's things that I do. And anyway, we won't go there. But even that, it is very interesting to go, I don't really write Julie love letters. Thank you for doing my washing. So appreciate it. You're awesome. I haven't done that ever. You all gone quiet on me. Some of you guys. Okay. We're taught manners. Again, why? Why are we taught manners? And where are we taught manners? Mostly, it should be at home. In our families. So by analogy to what I'm saying this morning, we ought to be learning manners here. What is manners about? Manners is about honour and respect. Perhaps you were brought up to be a problem solver and to think for yourself. What did you learn about that being for the benefit of the family? If anything, no, just be a problem solver. You sort your own problems out, son. You do it. You'll be good. Come on. What if I get a revelation that all those personal skills, those things that have been taught to me, are all about us? I think it just shifts me into a new zone of living in freedom. Brought up to forgive. Why? You ever had a conversation with a person, mainly young people, like kids, for example, such and such happens in the family. Now I want you, Dave, to go and say sorry to Teagues. Okay. So he complies, and he goes over to Teague and says, "Teague, I'm really sorry." And she says, this next phrase, just trust me, next phrase, "What are you sorry for?" That is a killer of a question for a guy. "All I know is I'm working my hardest to just make the peace. I'm sorry, babe. What are you sorry for?" Uh-oh. You know what I'm talking about, right? Have you ever had that conversation? Either of you?
Not with Tegan.
Not with Tegan. Oh. You're a very wise man. Very wise man. I think I'm just about done. Feeling a little bit loose as a goose up here now. So being filled to the measure of all the fullness of God is not found by yourself, nor a personal experience. It is in and for the church. Pretty amazing. So I cannot stress to finish up how passionate I am about this issue this year. I find that God always lays something heavy on me in the way of an overarching theme, the come and see thing. If nothing else gets in our church this year about come and see, it would be come and see us. Don't come and see me. Don't come and see our worship team, even though they're part of us. It's like, come and see us. Every one of you out there is a treasure from God for this church. No matter how gifted or ungifted you might think you are, no matter how qualified or unqualified you might think in various arenas of life, no matter how wealthy or poor, doesn't matter what side of the track, doesn't matter who you are, God's put you into this family because he wants us to flourish. You're special. Oh, everyone's special. That's like the kind of, I don't mean special like, look at me, look at me, look at me. It's like, no, understand you fit. Understand you belong. Understand you matter. Understand you add value to. Anyone say amen to that? So finish with Mark 8:34. Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me." Can I ask you to stand to your feet? There's a sense in which, in all of what I'm saying, that concluding thought is this. There's this incredible self-centeredness that's always raging within us. It's just called self-preservation. You've got to look after yourself. You've got to do your own exercise. You've got to do your own prayer. You've got to do your own eating. You've got to do your own abluting. You've got to do your own everything in that sense. So it does make sense to me that, therefore, Jesus labours the point with this in numerous sections of the Gospels. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. There's a sense in which day after day, I've got to go and make a personal decision to live for the benefit of us. So I come to church every week, not because I'm the pastor, because of revelation of, I'm here for the benefit of us. You're here for the benefit of us. We flourish, say flourish.
Flourish.
We flourish when we get this. I think it's pretty awesome. And we grasp it by the power of God. So I just invite you to close your eyes for a moment right now where you stand. And I want you to just have a moment, honest reflection with God. Lord, if you've been really striving and I don't mean negatively striving, but you've put a lot of effort into grasping stuff from God in the last little while of your life. I just pray that you won't grow weary. Right now, Lord, I pray for those that are actually on this journey already. They're grasping how high, how wide, how deep your love is in Christ. Lord, for others of us, we might have been not quite a dead fish handshake version of it, but we're a little insipid in our determination to pursue this. And Lord, others of us standing here right now might have just completely just stopped trying. Our evidence of life, our knowledge to this point in time has closed us down from grasping And I pray right now that we power in this house this morning, right here, right now, to stir up every person in their innermost being to grasp this, that there be power being put out over from my left, right through the auditorium to my right, right down the front, from the front to the back, everywhere in between, there would be this inner grasp, this inner grasping of a revelation about how deep God's love is for each one of us. And we'd be confident that in this context of grasping things for ourselves, grasping stuff personally, we are grasping it so that we can flourish as a congregation. Lord, as people who go out into the community, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, people are going to be drawn into the slipstream of our life because of the power of God that's at work in us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Jesus wants you to flourish. You've got to be in him to flourish. You can have a good life. You can be a nice person. You can do all sorts of charitable good deeds. You can be generous. You can give away all that you own. But if you don't know him, you're not going to flourish. Nor are you going to live forever. He invites every one of us to make a decision to receive him into our lives, for us to give our lives to him, so that we can flourish in every sense of the word. If you've never invited Christ into your life, or if you have, and it kind of was something that's just gone off track for whatever reason, sometimes we make a decision to follow Christ that's complicated by what's been said from the front of the meeting that you're at, or by the person who spoke to you. I don't want it to be complicated. I just want you to know Jesus loves you. He wants you in his kingdom, his family, and you've got to make a decision that says, yes, I want to be in that family. It's a spiritual family and is entered into by prayer, inviting Christ into your heart, asking him to forgive as he has, to set you free from the power of sin and death, which he did on the cross. But you've got to ask for that to be unlocked in your own life. And then we can do life together, flourishing. If you've never invited Christ, or you have at some point in the past in your life, but you know you've backed a long way off, why don't you come back to him this morning, or come to him for the very first time? If that's you, slip your hand up and say, Pastor Bruce, I hear what you're saying, and I want to come into that family. I want to come into this family because, Lord, I want to flourish. Anyone at all need to be helped to say a prayer this morning to get right with God? Give me a wave. We'll close the meeting in a moment. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Well, Lord, watch over us. Pray that you would indeed bless the church, this congregation, whilst Julie and I are away. Pray for all the leaders, Lord. Pray for Emma and John as they pick up the weight, Lord. And we pray for the other just amazing Connect Group leaders in our church, that everything that needs to be cared for would be, and the power of God would rest on every gathering. In Jesus' name, amen.